you open up Parshas Nitzavim, and you have a little bit of a uniqueness of Kiatani Zata. I'm sorry, you have the beginning of attendance of Vim Hayom, the leaders, the people, the Zakanim, the Shofreichim, everyone. And then Moshe goes back into like the same old Moshe Shmuz he's given 7,000 other times in the barn, which is, don't do Avodah Zarah. Again, and the truth is, the Avera that the Torah warns us against more than any other Avera is the Avodah Zarah. And although I understand its gravity, its tremendous severity, to the Talmud of 2010, to the modern world, it's difficult to imagine the Yetzer Hara. It's difficult to understand what basically is the taiva to bow down to a, you know, sculpture, or who knows, any type of Avodah Zarah that there is. It's so surprising. And you read the Midrash by Avraham Avinu, and like you think all the people in the world are just like the dumbest people ever. Avraham has a little, his father has a little store, and he breaks down the idol. You know, and everyone's like, before he breaks it down, everyone comes in and is like, hi, I'd like to buy an idol. He's only made yesterday. How can he be God? And the person's like, you know, I never thought of that. That's a great philosophical question. Or, you know, it comes in, and my old idols were stolen. I need new idols to protect me. And Abba says, well, the old idols were stolen. They don't seem to work too well. And apparently the guy really thought that idols would protect him from a thief. And again, the question is, what type of superficial, shallow, unsophisticated mind would have such a Yetzer Hara that the Torah has to tell us time and time and time again, don't do Avodah Zarah, be careful about Avodah Zarah. It's shocking that anyone have a Yetzer Hara to do Avodah Zarah. In all my life, I've never had a Yetzer Hara. And I've had plenty of Yetzer Haras. And if you add up all the Yetzer Haras from everyone in this room, and if everyone we've known, I don't think anyone had a Yetzer Hara. The truth is, the Gemara says that in a chinam the Yetzer Hara is gone, but what is it based upon? Where does it come from? I'd like to share with you two different insights. In general, to understand the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, I think there's a lot to learn from. Number one is how the Rambam describes how people started falling for this trap in the first place. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah tells you the history. He says, "B'yimei Enosh Tov b'nei Adam Tov's Gadol v'nivrei tzach Chachmei Yoso Hador v'Enosh Atmo min Atom Haya." Even Enosh himself and the Chachmei Ador made a mistake. V'zu Haisa Tov Sam. And here comes their mistake. Amro, they said, "Ha'ol ve'elokim bara kochavim elu v'gilgalim v'hanigat ha'olam v'nasna v'maram v'chelak lehem kavod v'chelak lehem kavod." Since God created the Shamayim and the heavens and the sun and the stars and the moon, and He gave them kavod, v'heim shamshram shamshram lefanav, ru'uyim heim l'shabcham u'lefarom l'chalkum hem kavod. If God gave them kavod, so God must have given us kavod as well. And the first thing that bothers me about this Rambam is, before we continue, is, did anyone ever look at the moon and say, wow, God really made that glorified? What a majestic sun and stars. God must have really wanted to show them cover. You know what I see when I look at the moon? A white ball in the sky and nothing more. Sometimes less, sometimes if it's a crescent moon, you know, or like, I don't know what the two-thirds moon is called. I look at the sun and I just see, wow, that's like that little purple ball when I move my eyes away. That's all I see. I don't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu's tremendous creatures that are Mechubad and Mechuar and think, wow, I should really serve these guys as well. I've never thought that once in my life. And not only do I not do that, but like, sometimes it's difficult for me to understand, like, what type of eyes you would need to serve them. Not to look at the sun, but to like have thought, wow, God really must have wanted to give them a lot of honor because, you know, they're all the way up in the sky. Here I am down on earth. I never thought that once. The mindset that's foreign to me. I heard Rav Lachman giving a very insightful take on it, and I really liked it, so I'll share it with you guys. He suggested, you know, we say that Hashem is up in Shemayim, right? Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Ha'aretz, the Salat Ne'adam. So, look up, you don't see him. The whole thing's a metaphor. God's not really in the Shemayim. Like when you're a little boy, you say, oh, where's God? Up, up, down, I don't know, whatever. He's up there, you know, God hangs out in Shemayim. You can't see, he's behind the blue part. He's up in space somewhere. I don't know where God is. But God's not in Shemayim physically. Shemayim is a mushroom. It's a metaphor, which is beyond. It's what we don't understand. God is where we don't understand Him. I don't know if He's really there, but God is what we don't understand. In that Shemayim of what we don't understand, what God decided to make areas. In other words, the Shemayim itself is what's reflective of God. Like that's what they say about tzitzit, right? You're supposed to look at your tzitzit and you see blue reminds you of the ocean, reminds you of Shemayim, and Shemayim is like what we don't understand, and that reminds you of God. But if the sun and moon are in Shemayim, number one. And number two, God had a tremendous, sophisticated plan. How to order and how to organize the environment, the world, the universe. Well, it's not by chance God gave them such a coveted spot up in Shemayim, but we don't understand. It could be it does pay to give them cover. It could pay it does pay to give them respect. That I understand the world. Meaning if Hashem didn't just make the world by chance how it is, but there was a lot of thought that went into it, and by God that's probably the case. There's a lot of depth in how God organized things, and the fact that there's a Shemayim, and in it is a sun and moon, well that means God wants to give them some type of cover. And that I even understand a little bit. That fills the Avodah Zarah. But the problem is where the Rambam continues and says, and then all of a sudden the Nevi'ei Sheker, and the, you know, the hooligans and the people of Shekatering, the tricky people, insincere, disingenuous people started jumping on the bandwagon and saying, well, it's not just we should respect them because they are God's creation, but there's intrinsic value in and of itself. And the truth is I lost track on that as well. Okay, now I understand how a person can say, I want to give honor and respect to God's creation. After all, it's a reflection of God. You want to understand God, look into the world of creation, understand science, God created it. You want to appreciate the sophistication of God, appreciate the sophistication of His world. But not to replace it with God. And in order to understand that, I think you have to rely on the Yiri Theavis, which describes the Avodah Zarah, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah to be, people want to worship what they see in front of them. There's this tremendous Yetzer Hara to be shallow and unsophisticated. There's this tremendous Yetzer Hara to have a very clear book of checks and X's up in Shemayim, and if I do enough mitzvos, then I go up to heaven, and if I do enough averos, well then I go down to hell. And God is about as sophisticated as Moreh Dvorah was back in first grade. Just, you know, without a skirt. People want to have all the answers to all the questions. You go to a Rebbe, and you go to the, and I'm not against going to Rebbe's, and you go to the Kevra of Tzadik, and I'm not against going to Kibrei Tzadikim. It's well rooted in our episode. But people sometimes fall into the trap of davening to Rebbe Nachman opposed to davening to God. I wouldn't be surprised if the Chabad is out there at some point in time to daven to the Rebbe opposed to daven to God. Make that mistake. And it's important when you have middlemen to realize their place. It's so easy to just want to have a simple life. You know, my wife asked me after this killing, you know, 2 days ago in Hebron. She said, why does this have to happen? She's 100% right. I had no idea. 7 orphan children, I was crying. It looked just so terrible. It's terrible. And then you think, you know, like, thank God it's not me, but someone else out there who's just lost family members. Liyayin Hara, I mean, this is the most sincere thing. The main reason I don't want to die is because I want to leave my children for it. Just sad situation. 7 children out there, why does it happen? It's so easy to come up with the same fake, false answers of, because we have to fit the infinite, sophisticated, profound God into my shallow box of world I understand, we start trying to answer that question. I don't know why things happen. I don't know. And it's the same thing. Where is God? Why is God? How do these things happen? The questions sometimes are so important and so profound, sometimes even overwhelming and daunting, to the point where I make up false answers because I just need to have something. And it's Yetzer. Sometimes it's difficult to grapple with the sophistications of life. So we want to find shallow, cheap answers to them. Sometimes we don't understand where God is or why or how. There are great philosophical questions out there. So I replace it with cheap, shallow, I'm genuinely plagued by these difficult questions, and therefore, well, there's no God. The questions are too great, must be there's no God. It's easy to want to be superficial. It's easy to want to be shallow. Life is a lot easier that way. A lot easier to do a Hodazara. Here's a statue, you bow down to it, you see it, you clean it when you have to clean it, you do what you got to do, and you move on, you don't have to deal with it. And that could be one level of Yetzer Hara. The way the Miri describes it in Pirkei Avos, people want to be superficial, people want to be shallow. How often do you find in our community the way people are religious standard is tested? How from people are is based upon how you dress and what color hair hat you wear and what color shape you have and whether or not you wear stockings if you're a girl or whether or not you wear a white shirt if you're a boy and whether or not, you have a white tablecloth on Shabbos or whether or not you can point to someone else in Hashkacha and say, I don't trust that, I'm firmer than that person. That's the way we judge them. I was reading an article, and it's a sad, not just a sad time, but I was reading an article in one of these Israeli papers, Hamarav. And it's a paper that's not necessarily always known to portray religion as a positive thing. There. But it's everything about, say, take with a grain of salt, maybe even the whole salt shaker. They were talking about some Haredi guy who left his community and now he's what they call the Chazera L'Sheila, the opposite of Chazer B'Tshuva. He's Chazer L'Sheila, he no longer believes in God. And he's like, still dresses real from and acts real from. And he's in Yerushalayim, but he goes to Tel Aviv and changes in the car and puts on jeans and a t-shirt and acts not from when he's there. And he's telling the newspaper anonymously his lifestyle, I guess he's got some need to get it off his chest. And they asked him, what do your parents think about it? And he responded, my parents feel as long as the rest of the world thinks I'm from, it doesn't mind if I don't believe in God. I was thinking to myself, it's true the problem is probably more in the Haredi world than our community, but unfortunately we're following their ways, not just in the great, wonderful things they do, religious commitment to dictate the halacha and passion, full commitment to Avodas Hashem, a big problem with the non-Orthodox community. So it's good we're following them in many of the ways, but unfortunately we're following them in a little bit of the superficial side as well. It doesn't make a difference if you are a kofer be'ikar, as long as people think you're from. The desire to live a super simple, the desire to be a simple thing. But there is, however, a second Yetzer Hara, very often described in context of Avodah Zarah. Chazal says, I think by the Baal Pa'or, Rashi, the Chum Shem Bamidbar says, Lo avdu Avodah Zarah ela lehatir aleihem arai. Once in a while, a Talmud comes over to me, I have one specific one in mind, comes over this question, that question, philosophical questions, and I don't mean to discourage for 1 second philosophical questions. You should ask them and try to continue finding answers, and that's certainly going to walk out all the answers in the world. But never stop asking questions, never stop thinking, and don't even ask them with preconceived answers. Ask them, you should be preconceived that you'll still be from at the end of the day. But don't walk out with the answer, don't ask the question already knowing the answer, just having to find it. Really think. I'm all for intellectual engaging of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Machshavas HaTorah on the most deepest level. But once in a while you find people who, because they're not interested in being from, they're the philosophical questions I've developed. There's a story in Berlin, in Germany, during the time of Haskalah, I guess the 1800s, a bunch of boys were asking philosophical questions, and half the boys went to University of Berlin to learn philosophy, and the other half went off to Bologna. And they came back, I guess, Pesach time in the summer, I don't know what, Ben Azmanim. And the boys from Berlin had all sorts of philosophical answers, but the questions were just as strong, and the boys from Belgium were a lot more committed, a lot firmer, a lot more serious, devout Jews. And the boys from Berlin asked the boys from Belgium, Vesepis, where'd you come from? Oh, not that way, probably. But where'd you get this from? What type of deep philosophical answers did they give you to answer all your questions? We've been studying with the top philosophers in the world that came up with nothing. And the boys from Belgium responded, We don't have such great answers. We're equally torn as you are. But somehow the questions bother us a lot less. A lot of times you have some question, you know, I don't understand this din, I don't understand this philosophical thing, I have a difficult time with the following halacha. And it just boils down to your girlfriend. Sometimes the most deepest philosophical question, the reason why they don't make any sense to you, I mean it sincerely, is because if they do, it means a lot less goes down with your girlfriend. And listen, I'm not going to intentionally do what I don't believe in. I'm not going to know it's right and admit it's right, but on the other hand, not keep it. So I got to make a choice over here. And it may not be conscious, very often it's subconscious. I don't want to have God stare me at the face every time I look in the mirror. Yonah had the same problem. Left there to scroll. Didn't want Nevuah every night nudging him and bugging at him day after day, nudging him, really bothering him. God, enough. Stop nudging me. Stop making me do what you want to do. I want a little bit of freedom. I want to live free, and I want to live guilt-free. Lo avdu avodah zarah ela lahatir lahem arayis. I want to do this arayis, and if God, if you don't let me do it with your books, I'll find some other guy how to do it. I want to be happy with my mediocre style of avodah Hashem. I want to be content with not aspiring for greatness. I don't want to have to wake up and feel the paranoia of God looking over my shoulder and telling me I'm not doing good enough. I want to not do good enough and have someone pat me on the back saying, you're doing great. People have all sorts of solutions to this problem. If this is religion, count me out. Does anyone want to say something like that? If this rabbi thinks this is true, religion is not for me. I follow the religion where people or women or this group or that are treated the way I think they should be. I follow the religion where God himself goes mixed with. I follow a religion, I understand a religion where God himself knows that the details he wrote in Chumash are not so important. God doesn't care about the details he wrote in Chumash. I'm saying, I understand that. The way religion makes sense to me is that details are unimportant. Again. If you're not yet at the ready, you're not ready for the stage, for the level, you're not yet at the stage where you feel you can commit fully to all the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, here's Hashem, you'll get there. But at least don't blind yourself by saying that's not really what God wants. It's a lot easier. Lo avdu avodah zarah ela lahatir lahem arayis. Don't cut and paste God into the God who fits neatly in your pocket, because that's the shape of your pocket. Don't close your eyes to half a Chumash or half a Chazal or whatever parts of religion. Don't like it, okay? There are a lot of parts of religion I have a tough time with. I'm working on it. I'm grappling. I'm trying to ask new understandings, new interpretations, new appreciations. And sometimes I say, you want to know what? Yeah, I don't understand why we have to kill a Moloch. If it'd be up to me, I would override that rule. But I realize that God is not overridden. I'm not going to close my eyes to God looking for a avodah zarah in order to be matir aleihem arayis. We call this in the modern Orthodox world. I don't believe in Shomer Nevi'ah. I believe in the non-Shomer Nevi'ah God. And I think these are the two major yetzeharos for avodah zarah. Number one, a life of simplicity. And by the way, the godless that modern Orthodox community is, it preaches a sophisticated lifestyle. If God is a sophisticated being and the Torah is a sophisticated book, it could be sophistication is what he appreciates. It could be God is more profound than just, again, more devoted in fifth grade. It's an easy yetzer to want everything to be shallow and simple. It's also an easy yetzer to cut God and paste him the way you want. I believe the yetzer for avodah zarah specifically has died. But all the undercurrent reasons for it are still alive. It's true we no longer bow down to statues. So now we have other ways to do it, other ways to grow this Yetzirah. Again, if you're not getting ready to combat the Yetzirah, head on. I can't say I respect that, but I can hear it. But I respect significantly less someone who's closing his eyes to the truth and pretending it's the truth because We want to be matra love arayas, because it's easier to live an unsophisticated, shallow life. It could be the reason why the Torah drills home time and time again the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. Even though the Yetzer Hara is no longer there, it's because it's true the Torah does speak beyond time. It's not limited to its only specific generation. The message is one for L'dorei Doros. Hopefully you had a little bit of understanding of that. Based on the Rambam, based on the Meiri, and based upon Chazal. And understand a little bit what the Torah's concern is. Not just the result of Avodah Zarah, which for sure is terrible, but all the makeup and Yetzer Hara along the way. Have a good chance.